Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
803-0550 to join us as we talk Bills Dolphins with you, but also we spent some time this morning talking about the Eric Staal trade for the Buffalo Sabres. And we are going to the West Her Hotline because we love this guy. And he loves Jeremy a lot.
I don't want to be lumped in.
Oh, see,
that.
It's funny. Just so you know, he said he's only coming on because you were still part of the show. Like, if you weren't here, he would not come on with me. I had to remind him, yeah, Jeremy's still here. Why? That's the only reason why he was coming on.
Yeah.
Matthew Collar, who has his own website these days and a podcast covering the Vikings called Purple Insider, but talks plenty of hockey as well, as you know from his time here. Good morning, Mr. Collar. See, Jeremy, look at what Jeremy's doing to you.
Yeah, I'm glad that he's still on the show. Otherwise, I like Brayton too, so that would have been fine. I like talking hockey with him. No, guys,
that's nice.
I didn't know that since I just woke up early for you guys that there was no virus tests positive for the NFL. I'm very glad to hear that, and I hope you guys and everybody there is staying safe.
We are all, knock on wood, I haven't seen Jeremy other than a charity golf event that he was at. He's been doing the show from home, so actually, Matthew, if you were stuck here still producing this godless show, you'd be stuck with me and no Jeremy, so consider yourself very fortunate.
Yeah, everything is weird. I mean, reporting on the Vikings game the other day, unbelievably weird. I mean, U.S. Bank Stadium is usually one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL, and it was dead silent, and even the pumped-in crowd noise was about as loud as having somebody playing music in a car driving by your house. Was about basically how it sounded.
Yeah.
I have never heard Aaron Rodgers call out his calls at the line of scrimmage before, so that was kind of fun, but it didn't help. So Everything is strange, but I'm glad you guys are doing well.
We got a Diggs question for you at some point, but I definitely wanted to find out a little bit more about Eric Staal. So you've been watching all of his games the last 4 years. How productive was he? How would you kind of overall characterize his 4 years with the Wild?
Yeah, I mean, first I would start out by just saying that nobody can really figure out what the heck that trade was in Minnesota, because Eric Staal has become a big win for them over the last few years. When they got Eric Staal, he was looking completely washed up, and I think a lot of people went, okay, all right, I guess you just take a swing for a fairly reasonable contract when they signed him, and then he scores 40 goals at one point. And over the last 2 years, nobody expected him to keep scoring 40 goals. He had, I think, a 17% shooting percentage that year. Everything kind of went his way. But over the last 2 years, he has aged pretty well. I mean, he of course, does not have wheels. He was never fast even when he was younger. But he has that great length that he can make up for it. He's got great instincts that can make up for the lack of speed. And he kind of profiles as the guy, almost like a Joe Thornton, who doesn't have to be that fast but can go late into his career and still be effective. And last year there was nothing that pointed to, oh, man, you've got to get rid of this guy because he's about to fall off the edge of a cliff. And I also would have understood it if he was really expensive or if he was a big old jerk. But he was neither one of those things either. Like, I know that your first impression of Eric Staal is that he's a big old jerk because of Carolina. But he came here and became, you know, a big part of the locker room. And, you know, I thought was one of the guys that they would look to when, you know, times got tough, somebody with experience and the skill to be able to, you know, get them out of a slump or something. And, okay, trading him is totally fine if you're trading him for someone who's 23, but that's not what they did. So I guess I don't quite understand it, and I do think from your perspective, Eric Staal still has plenty to offer as a number two center.
Yeah, and that's the mission, is to have him be the guy basically behind Jack Eichel but ahead of Dylan Cousins, which, you know, for Sabres fans, it's almost like this is the only goal is not to repeat the mistake they made with Casey Mittelstadt that they're kind of still paying for and have paid for a couple of years. Matthew, with regard to Staal playing that position, power play time as well, I mean, from what I understand, he's someone that could help a lot on the power play. We talk about, you know, leadership and all that, but this is, you know, the leadership to me is the extra. The actual on-ice qualities seem to be exactly what the Sabres could use as well.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know Eric Staal, right? Like, he is extremely, extremely skilled, and that's a major part of it, of, you know, being able to maintain his success late into his career. And I think that that's what you see from a lot of guys who don't have that gargantuan fall off at some point. And when he had opportunities to play with really good players, and the thing is with the Wild, I mean, it's not like they had a Jack Eichel to play with on the power play if they put both of them out there, which I would endorse. I know that they're both centers, but I think you can put them both out there at the same time in the power play and have them whip the puck back and forth to each other. Because, I mean, there's just, I mean, you know this, guys, that drafting high, you usually get these guys who are more skilled than everyone. I don't know if we ever addressed that.
No, it never came up on the show.
But two or three or four times a game, Eric Staal does something with the puck that just nobody else is able to do. I mean, he makes blind passes. He has sharp tape-to-tape passes on the power play. You know, he can cross the goal mouth and have somebody on the other side tap it in. But I thought he never really got an opportunity here. And even with all the points he put up, to play with another superstar scorer, if you look through the other Wild scorers, you get a lot of, this guy had 20 goals, this guy had 25 goals. They pumped up Jason Zucker as if he was really great. He really wasn't that great, you know. So, yeah, I think that he is perfect to play with someone like, you know, Jeff Skinner, even though defense might be a bit of an issue there if they end up playing together. But having those guys on the power play, I think, would be huge. And that's another reason where you look at it from the Wild perspective and you go, okay, now you just lost somebody to put on the power play, because I don't think that that's Johansson's deal.
Hey, Matthew, with what Jeremy was mentioning about Cousins, so this is not just a trade to have him, you know, babysit Dylan Cousins and develop. He can be productive. They need him to be productive as the number two center. But what about mentoring a Cousins, or maybe he can help Mittelstadt? Were there young centers or young forwards or players that he kind of did some teaching with in Minnesota at all?
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is a point that, again, now you want to hear, but if I had told it to you a week ago, you would have said, get out of here. But, I mean, Eric Staal was just, let me you know, borrow cliche and say consummate pro when he was here. I mean, he came in to a locker room that was not in a very good state of the Minnesota Wild and played a pretty big role in getting them to be a relevant team, every single year that he was here. And I think that part of the reason that they didn't have a complete collapse, maybe they could have used it in a higher draft pick, I'm just saying. But he's a main reason why they didn't fall apart. And even if you look at this last year, we thought this team's going to be a total disaster because they changed a lot of parts out. They got rid of Nino Niederreiter. They got rid of Granlund as well. And then Kevin Fiala emerges as the next star skill player on this team. And this was all with, you know, Eric Staal as being, you know, the leader. And I can't believe you guys also have not asked me about his analytics yet. I was just before, like, looking some things up, like, oh, I'm going to bring him some great stats. No questions about analytics. But if you were wondering,
I didn't know you were into analytics at all. This is
now that you're
me.
Gone. Yeah, we know, say that I stuff know. Is for nerds.
Well, I'm still going to tell you anyway that even though he did not have a Corsi percentage over 50%, he had an expected goals over 50%, and the Wild had a really, really bad goaltending situation this year. So I didn't see in his analytics anything that says, oh, man, watch out for this guy. He's about to fall off the face of a cliff.
I think it was Scott Cullen did a piece this morning, Matthew. I saw something about shot generating that he, although I guess his numbers were down a little bit last season, but he referred to Staal as an elite shot generator and a guy who could still drive the play of a line.
Yeah, and again, this is why it didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Wild are in a weird situation where, like, Matt Zuccarello is on the team. And you go, why is Matt Zuccarello on the team? Like, why did they sign him to a big contract? That was a Paul Fenton move that just baffled everyone. But okay, if Matt Zuccarello is going to be on the team and Ryan Suter and Zach Parise, then you might as well keep the olds and try to bring in the youngs and put them together at some point, because the guy they're really excited about is a Russian kid named Kirill Kasparov. He's like a great KHL scorer, can kind of be their Artemi Panarin, they think, you know, or maybe even a little better than that in terms of an all-around player. So you got Fiala is young, Ryan Donato showed some things 2 years ago, had kind of ups and downs last year. Kaprasov is coming in, so you're thinking they might have this second core of players, and then the older guys leading the way and, you know, put it together. And now you trade for someone who, to me, just is not a real impact player at all. And then they say they're going to play him at the position where he's not as good. So, I mean, from the Sabres' perspective, I think it works out in a lot of ways and makes a lot of sense, because the Sabres have to win at some point, right? Or they just, I don't know what. Like,
I'm not sure.
Arena?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
At what year do you get to where they just say, all right, it's no longer, you know, worth having a team if you can't win? But, I mean, it makes sense, though, like, to get a player that says, all right, it's time for us to win. We need more scoring. That makes sense. From the Wild perspective, I'm not sure I get it.
So this Diggs guy, you know, he looks good, man. I think he's got a shot of sticking here for a while.
Oh, I'm shocked. I can't believe it. Is that the Diggs question?
Yeah, you probably didn't see that coming, you know, on your Purple Insider podcast. You probably never made that observation.
Trust me, I did. I said, I think about 50 times it's going to be a lot harder to replace Stephon Diggs than you think. And the Vikings offense certainly found that out when they were down 29-10 in the third quarter the other day and had only had the ball for about 5 minutes. I'm not even surprised in the slightest. I saw that Josh Allen is being put in the Ring of Honor or the Hall of Fame this week after beating the – I mean, when you beat the Jets, you really should have the parade. But, Stephon Diggs is one of two that made Case Keenum a quarterback that went to the NFC Championship. So, I mean, he has elevated every quarterback who he's ever played with, and quarterbacks throwing to Stephon Diggs have a rating of about 110 throughout their career. So, whatever he does this year that's really good, I'm not surprised.
Well, one thing about his opening day there, Matthew, you know, we'd been, I guess a lot of his highlights include post routes. He's one of the best in the NFL running posts, seeing the deep ball. And against the Jets, you know, they played a lot of conservative defense, I would think, at least in the secondary. The Bills kind of, they didn't quite dink and dunk, but we got to see Diggs working underneath, basically, and working in short yardage kind of scenarios. 8 for 86, a couple of big third down plays. It was kind of like seeing one version of the player they get, because he's not just a guy that obviously can beat teams over the top, which he can do. I feel like he was showing that other side of his game that maybe is not even really less sexy, but maybe less talked about.
Well, that's what is fascinating about studying his career in Minnesota, is because they changed offensive coordinators so many times and changed quarterbacks so many times. His role changed from year to year. So in 2016, he was a slot receiver. That was his assignment about half the time, and he was running quick slants and things like that, making plays after the catch. And then he changes to more of a deep receiver. And then in 2018, he goes back to being a short, quick receiver and only averages 10 yards a catch. And then last year, they completely overhaul the offense and have him just running deep posts, and he's burning everybody with that. So, I mean, it really says something about him as a route runner, that when you talk to other receivers, younger receivers, and even veterans around the league, and say, who do you study as a route runner? The answer a lot of times is Stephon Diggs. And, you know, I thought, just from watching him, there's a lot of similarities to what Antonio Brown was at his peak. And I know that we look at the fantasy numbers and say, well, Antonio Brown caught 130 passes. You know, Diggs isn't that. But fantasy isn't real football. I mean, you know, he didn't play with Ben Roethlisberger. He didn't play on offenses that threw to him constantly. So, you know, and I don't know if Josh Allen is going to be peak Ben Roethlisberger, but I do know that if you target him, no matter what way you do it, it'll be successful because he runs a full route tree. And there are very few receivers in the league who have the full route tree of being able to succeed at all three levels. I mean, there's probably only about 10 of those guys.
Well, 9 targets, 8 catches. That's a pretty good percentage for week one. Actually, for any week, quite honestly. Hey, thanks for coming on, first of all. We miss you. We love you. We hope all is well. And continued success with your work, with your website and your Purple Insider podcast.
Yeah, I miss you guys as well. And I think my state, people from my state are not able to travel to your state still or something. So maybe someday I'll see you guys again.
Even if they are not quarantined, we really don't want to see you that much. I mean, it's nice having you on the phone. I didn't need to see you in person.
I woke up really early Central Time for this, Howard.
Come on, you have a dog. There's no way you sleep in.
No, we've trained her to not whine until about 9:30.
Okay, see, I thought dogs were kind of like babies, where you just you get up early at some point.
Well, not during this. I kind of used to, but everything is just like time doesn't matter, the days don't matter. It's very strange. But
yes, it is.
I'm glad that you guys are doing well, and happy fall to Jeremy. That's how much I miss you guys.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of you to wish Jeremy happy fall.
Thank you.
Going to be in the 30s this weekend for the low, so it'll be a wonderful weekend. Hoodie weather.
I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to
say it. I know. Hey, thanks for bringing up analytics. Love to your wife.
Right. Yeah, thanks, guys.
Hi, Matthew. Take care, buddy. Stay safe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.